pretty good.
Blog Talk Radio.
Behold the cross on which was hung life's very Lord, God's darling one, Mary's own babe, so cold and so still, helpless before her on Calvary. Upon his cheek and his pierced heart broken in two, love crucified for me and for you. Eyes that won't see, ears that won't hear, lips that deny the friend once so dear. Slowly he turns and captures your heart, then passes on.
Friday. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. Yes, tomorrow is Good Friday. Tomorrow we get to watch a man, a God, 33 years old, who's going to die for our sins. Man, if that's not redemption, what is? How are you tonight, my fellow Americans? You're coming to the end of the week, seeing this cold weather coming back in. You see today that Harry Reid got caught in Box Canyon. He was changing the brand on Bundy's cattle. He was changing it to the DNC brand. Yeah. Oh, man, are we in trouble. We're in trouble. We're losing a country. We're witnesses to the disillusion of the United States. So that's why I made my title tonight, Where Were You When World War III Started? you got Putin toying with us, and he's going to do it, and everybody is going to follow suit. Little countries like Chad will be pushing us around. The big news tonight is Brad Pitt is going to play General Stanley McChrystal in an upcoming movie about the general who was taken down by the great Napoleon Obama. The general who was busted by a tin horn president. Yeah. Charged with rudeness. What a joke. What a joke. Now you see the chain of command. First you get rid of the commanding general in Afghanistan, and then you replace him with a guy that you've got the goods on, who's been fooling around, and as soon as he gets the job, you're gonna tell his wife he's a Lothario, and he's going to stand down. And then eventually, by the time you get through, you'll have guys that were in charge of missiles. They'll be replaced. You've got admirals on ships that'll be replaced. Yes. You'll have CIA operatives signing non-disclosure, non-circumvention agreements about Benghazi. And you'll have the one survivor that was up on the rooftop in Benghazi with all kinds of holes in him. And you'll just keep moving him from hospital to hospital and changing his name and try to find hospitals that have a high rate of staph infections. So, you know, dead men tell no tales. My famous line now is the Democrats take you for a walk in the park. If you're an enemy of the Democrats, they'll find you dead in the park. Well, anyway, when Pat Tillman walked away from an $11 million football contract and took a job paying $17,000 a year fighting for his country, the same people who wanted the military to be tried for homicide in the Friendly Fire tragedy, before this happened, they were spitting all over Tillman when he walked away from his football contract. You ought to hear the names they called him on the internet. Yeah, what a jerk. He's going to die for his country. I wouldn't die for my country. I'd rather see other people die. Yeah, he who fights and runs away lives to fight another day, but he who never shows for work is just one more big coward jerk. Yeah. They call themselves anti-war, but they're really anti-win. So they accuse McChrystal of covering up Tillman's Friendly Fire incident. You know, it's really sad. I was reading about the Chinese heroin influence on American troops in Vietnam, which is part of chemical warfare, just like they're doing today. All of these routes from South America into the United States were created by the Chinese and the Russians. There's a book called Red Cocaine. I'll tell you all about it. Whole countries, whole Soviet-controlled countries planned to dope up the United States, and they did a good job. Now they don't have to come here and dope us up anymore. The Congress is doing it, and the Senate is doing it, and they're telling you it's good for glaucoma. Well, guess what? They also have Marinol. You don't have to smoke that crap. You can take it in liquid form. It's called Marinol. And you can also take it in suppository form. But I know you guys won't do that because you like to pass the roach around. Yeah, unbelievable. Doped up nation. We won't even know. We won't even know when the Russians and the Chinese take over. We'll think it's a parade. Hey, man. Hey, man, there's a parade out there. I just seen a whole bunch of tanks. Yeah. Oh, look, they're shooting people. Oh, cool. Cool, man. Oh, this must be like a movie. Yeah. They call themselves anti-war, but they're really anti-win. So McChrystal was thinking of Tillman's family first when he said he got killed in action. But the left had to crucify the American soldier. And speaking of crucifixion, Michael Behenna, Lieutenant Michael Behenna, was on Mike Savage's radio show today, right? And Mike Savage raised $100,000 for Behenna's defense. And you know what he's looking for, Lieutenant Michael Behenna, who just did 5 years in Leavenworth? He's looking for help for two other guys that are in there that are going to be there for 15 years. And Michael was paroled. But they took away his honor, his dignity, and his pride. And they broke his family. And somebody's got to pay for that. He was convicted. There's another one, Evan Vela. He was one of three in a sniper team that was undercover in the, outside a village waiting to ambush Al-Qaeda. And the guy got too close to their concealed position. And the commanding officer that was leading the team jumped the guy and ordered Evan Vela to shoot him, which Vela did. He shot him, and they stayed concealed. However, when they got back, all three were charged with murder, and the Iraqi government wanted to charge them in an Iraqi court. So, of course, the Pentagon, which is, I call it the Pentagon, and the Pentagonians, they gave up three guys, but they said you can only charge one in an Iraqi court, and we'll take two home and charge them in an American court. So they abandoned, they left Evan Vela to die on the battlefield. The two guys that went back to a military court in the USA were acquitted, and Evan Vela was convicted and got 15 years in jail for premeditated murder. Isn't that a nice charge? You know what that's the same as? Workplace violence. Premeditated murder. You go into combat, they charge you with premeditated murder. You don't think the communists are not running this country? So Michael Behenna, Lieutenant Michael Behenna, did 5 years in jail, and he's on parole. So, you know, that means that, like, Savage couldn't ask him any questions, and he didn't want to ask him any questions because he didn't want to get him get his parole pulled, which, you know, they can do, or they could send the IRS to your house, and this guy's got no money, but they could look in his piggy bank and charge him with not paying his income taxes for 5 years. Yeah, we're in trouble. We're in trouble, man. We have no idea. That's why I made this the title of my show. Where were you when World War III started? So, McChrystal, when he wrote his report, he was thinking of Tillman's family. Never forget. Oh, I started to tell you about the Chinese and how they had infiltrated American troops in Vietnam with heroin, and they gave them the best heroin free. That's better than a sniper's bullet taking out one and four have to carry them. Yeah. That's what they did. So, my friend Jimmy from Brooklyn says, you know, some of those flag-draped coffins that came home, they weren't KIAs. They were ODs. And that's sad. Now, what commanding officer is going to write a letter to a fallen GI's mother and say, dear Mrs. So-and-so, your son died of an overdose of heroin. There's no way he's going to do that. And McChrystal thinks the same way. He's not going to tell a mother that the son was killed by friendly fire. A mother won't understand that. But it happens very easily. And all you got to do is get out in front of a bullet. The death. Okay, so where were we? And never forget that McChrystal was responsible for the lives of 100,000 troops and millions of Afghanis. One bad call kills a lot of people. And here we have a president who could not protect four and turned a deaf ear to their calls for a broken arrow. you know what a broken arrow is, right? That's when you're overrun and you know you're going to die, so you call in a fire mission on yourself. I'm sure those SEALs would have done that if they thought it called for it. But they were waiting. They were anticipating a help coming. And they got nothing. Hillary Clinton hung up the phone on him and faked the blood clot so she wouldn't have to testify.
Oh, that was a real blood clot. Oh, yes. Who told you that? NBC told me.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Okay, so the reporter that uncovered the attitude, anti-Obama attitude of McChrystal and his staff, okay, and McChrystal was never quoted, as far as I know, of saying anything, but one of his subordinates called Joe Biden, Joe Bite Me. And for this, McChrystal, the commander of all armed forces in Afghanistan, was relieved by Sissy Boy, whose feelings were hurt, and tried to turn it into a racial incident. He played the race card. Yeah. Bring out my cards. Okay. So the reporter who covered McChrystal in a bar in Paris, and that's where the incident occurred, I believe, and he's the one that brought down the a four-star general. How's that? A reporter for Rolling Stone magazine. So what do you think happens to the reporter from Rolling Stone magazine? He goes paranoid. He thinks the people are trying to kill him. He has another story he's working on, and he's going to break it. And when he breaks it, a lot of people are going to be exposed. So he goes to a woman, a neighbor's house, to ask to borrow her car because he doesn't trust his car. And she says, no, I can't lend it to you. So he takes his car, and he dies in a car accident. Yes, he sped up into a tree and blew up. Yeah. And this is like, this is shades of Vince Foster here. Yeah. I never bought that Vince Foster committed suicide.
Yeah, he did, he did. Look at the two holes in the back of his head. Yeah, he lived long enough to shoot himself 6 times in the back of the head.
Yeah, unbelievable, man.
I don't know what the actual scenario was with Vince Foster, but they said he was a Catholic and a lawyer. And lawyers don't commit suicide. Lawyers cause suicides.
So I never bought that. He was assassinated, man. I don't know what the reason was. Okay, so we got other things to worry about and other fish to fry tonight. This guy was working on an expose, and he was afraid to use his own car, and he died in his own car. But not to worry about that, because very soon the draft is coming back. You can see from this little situation in the Crimea and the Ukraine, one little country, that we can't even muster a fart back. Yeah, we can't do anything. We can't even send equipment. And I hear from Mike Savage tonight that Obama has pulled all tanks out of Europe, all American tanks out of Europe. Gee, I was in a little town called Erlangen in the late 50s, and I was in the 50th Infantry, Armored Infantry, 4th Armored Division, and across the street from me was the 35th Armor. So I wonder if he's also pulled out the armored personnel carriers so that the troops can run like they did in Mogadishu. Yeah. Remember when Clinton pulled out the tanks and the armored personnel carriers and left the guys to walk back? They did the Mogadishu mile. And when they went to the only ones that had armored personnel carriers were the Pakistanis, who have been waging war against us since 9/11. Yeah, under the guise of being our friend. I want to be your friend.
Yes. Which way are the troops going tonight?
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah, so the guys had to beg to get armored personnel carriers to go in and get the bodies and the wounded that were trapped in Mogadishu under that super well-planned attack to seize, what was his name, General Aziz or something? Yeah, they were going to seize him. He was supposed to be at a meeting, and he got a phone call, probably from Snowden. Yeah, don't go there. The Americans are coming. And one of the guys fell out of the helicopter. Remember that? I think he broke his back. Or he died falling out of the helicopter. You know, they're supposed to rope down, and I guess he missed the rope. Or it's a shame, man. Screwed up operation and no plan B. And the commanders were watching it on TV. Oh, look, we're losing here, we're losing there, we're losing everywhere. Change the channel. Yeah, where's my remote? Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable, we're in trouble. We are in trouble. So, what's going to happen when we find out that we're inadequately prepared for any kind of aggression? And you want to know what's going to happen? The draft is coming back. You can't believe that, right? You think that the half of 1% of this country who is serving now is going to be there. You know, they might walk off the job. You know, Obama's cutting their income. Obama is overextending them. And I will say, what am I doing all this for? You know what? You take the rifle. Give it to Mayor Bloomberg. Or give it to Mayor, whatever his name is, the communist mayor that we have now. Mayor Nobody. Unbelievable. So the draft is coming back. You can't believe that. Yeah. Oh, well, don't worry. You'll be going, but no Democrat son will go. No Democrat politician son will ever have to serve. Not my kid, no. He's going right to Sweden. Yeah. He'll be there he'll go into the Peace Corps with Chris Matthews. You know, he ran into the Peace Corps when war broke out. Yeah, he was decorated by Jimmy Carter for his guacamole dip. And here he is making policy on NBC, which is now run by Al Sharpton. I thought Al Sharpton was the president of NBC there. So, if the draft comes back, there's no other choice. We got to make McChrystal president. We need split-second decisions in a nuclear war. It's vital to the survival of the USA. The Russians are here already. The Red Chinese are here already. They own property in Idaho. Now they're working a deal with Harry the Rat Reed. They're going to kill some ranches, and they're going to take their property. Yeah, so we're going to protect the turtle. We're going to protect the turtle. The turtle's in jeopardy. Shoot those cattle. You know, they shot some of the cattle. You know, when they took some of the cows, and the cows that had little calves, they left the calves without mother's milk. How's that? You know what? That's an extension of the pro-choice party. Yeah, that's what that is. It's my cow. Unbelievable. Actually, I think that there's cause there for to play the race card. Those cows are brown. And there could be intimidation, you know. There could be a violation of rights, you know. Maybe they ought to look into that. The Russians are here. The Red Chinese are here. And Al-Qaeda is here. And the Democrats are here. Oh, we're in trouble. And we won't be the first country to go to the battlefield in taxis and a business suit. Just ask the French about the Paris draft, or ask the Iraqis about the Kuwait invasion nightclub draft. I hope we all get a good look at McChrystal with this. You know, Hollywood always destroys the military. They show all the atrocities that Americans are alleged to have committed, you know, and they really crap on the military. So it's going to be interesting to see how Brad Pitt handles his representation of General McChrystal, and we'll all be looking for it, won't we? And I just hope he gives him a fair shake. And if he does, then you got to ask yourself, is this the man for the job? Is it time to have a general? Because you can see community organizers don't have any skill whatsoever except agitating an uneducated mob, playing the race card. We don't need that. We got to bring our country together. We got to unite. Because the farmer in the dough may be the new national anthem, and the cheese stands alone. Yep. So, and you know that the communists have split this country up 6 different ways to the sun. We've got all kinds of splinter groups. And that's all oak that's been splintered. And I see tonight that Comcast is going to team up with Time Warner, and they're going to get 30% of all the cable television. Comcast owns NBC, nothing but communists. The head of Comcast donates a lot of money to the Democrat Party, which is my key beef. I believe that it should be a crime to make any kind of political contributions to anybody running for office. The largest champagne contribution, and probably 10% of that champagne money goes to advertising, and 90% goes in the pocket. The largest champagne contribution made by anybody in this country, and be him Comcast, GE, or Joe the Plumber, $1. Anything greater than that is bribery, and they should be charged with it and put in jail. Yeah, then let them go to jail with a pot seller, a master distributor. Yeah, because they let all of the dealers out. Yeah, you got to be a master distributor to stay in prison now. Oh, my God, they're doping us up so they can take the country over. We'll all be asleep when it happens. Okay, so where am I? Is McChrystal the best man for the job? Can he rebuild quickly because Obama has decimated the military? I mean, he's down to taking out the commissaries. He's destroyed it so successfully. And imagine how many yes men. I'll bet you if George Patton came back today and walked through the Pentagon, all you would hear would be screams, slaps, gunshots, and people jumping out of windows. Yeah. You know what his famous saying was? No good combat decision was ever made in a swivel chair. And here you got the commander of American forces throughout the world. He's playing basketball in Washington, D.C., Dumpster Dempsey, the cover-up general for Benghazi and SEAL Team 6. If you knew after seeing 9-1-1, if you knew that where Osama bin Laden was, would you wait 4 months to take him out? Why would you wait 4 months? Oh, I can use it in my election campaign. I want him to get away because I'm really a Muslim, but I can't tell you that. I'm a sympathizer with anybody that hates this goddamn United States. If Jeremiah Wright said, goddamn the United States, I'm sure that was music to Obama's ears. And the first time in my life I was ever proud to be an American. Oh, gee, golly. When was that? When you were put on the hospital board? Making what, 650 grand or 350 grand a year? And all you do was deny people that needed medical attention? Yes, I'm for the little people. I am. I'm going to make them smaller. So let's take a look at McChrystal. And can he save lives? That's the question. Can he rebuild a strong America, and can he save lives? You see, tonight they're talking about there's 25 billion planets in the Milky Way. 25 billion planets in the Milky Way. And today they just discovered another one. It says it looks pretty good. The temperature's not bad. It's the right distance from their sun. You know? You don't think God's letting us discover all this now because we got to evacuate with this nuke war that's coming. Yeah. I just hope. And, of course, our mayor in New York said he's not going to surveil the Muslims anymore because it's another race card he's got to play. Yeah. I just hope when we see the big mushroom, the first words we don't hear are Allahu Akbar. So, with Easter Sunday coming up, I wish everybody a happy resurrection. And if you want to see a little intro to General McChrystal, and I hope Brad Pitt plays a real General McChrystal, for better or for worse, or for good or for bad, whatever he really was, stick to the truth, Brad. Don't play the Hollywood communist game, or else I'll get Joe McCarthy on you. Yeah, okay. YouTube, thank you, General McChrystal, Abu Tam. YouTube, thank you, General McChrystal, Abu Tam. And you want to see one about saving lives? YouTube, save the kids, Abu Tam. Save the kids. You got to see that one. What else we got going here? Want a little tune? Get a little music. I hate the way they do this. Do you like your screen? Does your screen work good for you? Okay. Oh, and they also announced today that that there are less people working and more people living off them. Yes, they're outnumbered. The givers are outnumbered by the takers. EPA did this to Alabama.
Father's
her back. The worst argument ever for Jeb versus Hillary. This will be a surefire way to get Clinton into the White House. I say we need three candidates that we know can beat Hillary. You're putting all your eggs in one basket on one person, you can't do it. Because the Democrats have ways of rattling the cage. I said today they had a list of all the candidates for president from the Republican Party, and I said the only two that could win the election were Ken and Bobby. None of the candidates are any good. Sorry, folks. You know, we're going through a communist takeover. You can't give us the same old stuff. We need warriors, man. We need guys that will get in there and mix it up. And Jeb Bush, he couldn't even protect one Cuban kid in his state of Florida. He hid under the bed while Bill Clinton rode into town and kidnapped Elian Gonzalez and gave him as a gift to Fidel Castro. Jeb Bush is not the man for the job. It's kind of hard to sing Kumbaya when nukes are going off. The next war will be nuclear. You can rest assured, as sure as those very religious Muslims are running around shooting AK-47s up in the sky, as soon as they get a chance to launch a missile or bring one in a pocketbook, they're coming, man. They're coming. They love to give out candy on dead Americans. So, and of course, our mayor in New York says, come on, you can use the mosques to store nuclear weapons. Nobody will bother you. I used to say, you know, the mosque looks like a spaceship ready to launch, a missile ready to launch. I'm figuring I'll walk past one day and I'll see exhaust fumes coming out as it starts to rise in the air. It is terrible. We're totally divided. We're strangers in our own land. And nobody ever blames the government of Mexico for all the illegal immigration. That's Mexican people. Those aren't penguins coming over the border from Antarctica. Those are Mexicans coming over the border. Where are they coming from? They're coming from their country, Mexico. Why are they coming here? Because things are better here than there are in Mexico. Well, why doesn't their government make it better for the people? Because the government is stealing, like our government is stealing. But our government is smart. They're letting us work three jobs. Yeah, we're in trouble, man. We're in big trouble. Nobody ever calls the Mexican government to task. Hey, what are you doing here? If your next-door neighbor had 20 kids in the family, and one day five of the kids come to your house and ask for food and something to eat, so you take them in, right? You do a little Christian charity. Come on in, kids. And then the next day, five more kids come. Now you got 10 kids. And the next day, five more kids come. Now you got 15 kids. And then you go over to the house that where the parents are and you go, how come I got all your kids? Because we can't feed them. Well, why don't you take them back? I said, why should we have to take them back? We don't have to take them back. They're right next door. We got our eye on them. Yeah, it's terrible, man. We're in trouble. With Uncle Sap, we should be called.
Your love is like a seesaw, baby. Your love is like a seesaw, baby. First it's up and then it's down. It changes so fast, never hits the ground. It goes up, down, and up. I like a seesaw, baby. When you said you'd be my baby, change your mind.
Friday,
it's the day we make up.
Well,
the day we break up.
Sunday,
things are going all right.
Monday,
you want to start a fight.
Georgia,
like a freestyle, baby.
Freestyle.
Well, my head goes up, down, and up. I like to see you fall, baby. Change your mind.
Friday,
it's the day we make up.
Saturday,
it's the day we break up.
Sunday,
things are going all right.
Monday,
you won't start a fight.
Your
love, like a freestyle, baby.
Freestyle.
Well,
freestyle.
First you flash, and then you mad. You're the strangest girl I ever had. It goes up, down, and up. I like a freestyle, baby.
Here's an article from Conservative Bite. Obama's failures have made millennials give up hope. Part of growing up is realizing that liberalism doesn't work literally. Check it out. You know, moving on to something serious here. In recent days, in the recent past, we talked here about the millennials, people that are basically 21 to 34. One of the things I am hearing or fear has happened is that as Obama continues to break promises, the guy lies. The guy lies like a Persian rug. Persian rugs lie real good. They fold nice, too. You can put a whole Persian rug in a suitcase. It's really a Persian rug. But Obama lies. And the guy that called him a liar on his opening day was so right. He was right as rain, and the communists went after him, and then the rhino said, you know, you're embarrassing us. We're just going along to get along. But my version of a Republican today is they're all hiding under rocks. They're waiting for November and hoping that Obama self-destructs, and then they'll come out and take what's ever left. One of the things I'm hearing or fear has happened is that as Obama continues to break promises and Obama continues to wreak havoc on the economy, he's a vengeful guy, too. If he doesn't like you, he's going to get you. And basically, and that'll consume all his decision-making time. Destroy the foundations of the American dream, which is what he's doing. I got to tell you, the biggest foundation of the American dream that was destroyed by the Democrat Party was housing, was the real estate market. When they made it easy for people that had no intention of paying to get a mortgage, they took down everybody. They devalued every home in America. I've got three people that all own houses, and they're all underwater. And they had saved hard-earned money and built up an assets in their house, and they're now two-thirds of the value that they used to be. And that's not right. That's not right. When I was growing up, man, we went all the way. I paid $27,000 for a full house, three bedrooms, two baths, low taxes, $27,000. $27,000. The interest rate was high. It was 7.25. But that house went from $27,000 to I would say at least $500,000 today. And it's really sad because my generation, they all paid their mortgages off. I'm one of the people that didn't. But my entire generation, they all paid their mortgages off in 30 years. Now today, I mean, we're watching a girl that is being evicted because She went through a divorce, and her husband cleaned her out and left her with the kids. And she has nothing. She's got to start all over again. Starting over only works when you're about 18. Yeah. And by the time you're 30, if you got to start over at 30, that's a little tough. If you got to start over at 50, you're in big trouble. And this government is running this economy into the ground, and they're going to break everybody. And they don't care. Their attitude is, you have too much anyway, and you could work a fourth job. So those of you who were alive in the 80s, we have a memory of a conservative victory and 8 years of it. We know, but people that are 21 don't. 25, no idea. To them, conservatism is nothing more than a theory. It has no real-life dominance or victory in a lot of people's lives. So these young kids, they just all signed on to Obama in 2008, and they signed on to Obama for the reason young kids sign on to any liberal Democrat utopia. It's going to be cool. There isn't going to be any confrontation. There isn't going to be any unhappiness. It's going to be the perfect American novel, boy meets girl, they live happily ever after, in the 50s. Not today. Not today. Boy meets girl, boy meets girl's lawyers. The big joke is couples out nightclubbing, and they're on their first date, and the girl says, oh, what do you do for a living? He says, I'm a fireman. Oh, you have a pension. I'm on the pill. Yeah, oh man, we're in trouble. When I got married, my wife didn't know how much money I made, and I didn't know how much money she made. That wasn't the issue. I don't look at assets to say, well, how much will I be able to take from her when we break up? We weren't going in that route. We went till death do us part. And we went into a church, and God blessed our binding. Yeah. Now people go to Las Vegas. They get married by an Elvis Presley impersonator. Or they stand on a mountaintop wearing broccoli. Oh, man. Marriage is between a man and a woman, no matter what anybody else tells you. Don't listen to the crazy people. It's between a man and a woman. And the purpose is to live the best you can according to the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery being one of them. And you pledge your life, your sacred honor and fortune to the happiness of each other. If you can't do that, don't take the vow. Don't take the vow. No conflict, no confrontation, no death, no disappointment, no sadness, no failure, nothing. Obama was going to bring all of that, which is what every young person wants. Well, Obama failed miserably. But rather, and this is the thing that upsets me and has concerned me for a while, rather than blame Obama, they're just losing faith in the country. They're just thinking America's over. I got to tell you, Bob Grant, about 3 months before he died, said, it's over, people. That's what he felt in his golden years from what he saw compared to where we started from and where we are now. I'm thinking of that fifth, what I say, 25 billion planets out there in the Milky Way, and we don't have anybody that can get to them. Our space race is over. We ran over ourselves. We got to hitch rides with the Russians because they're our big brother. They're going to look out for us. And tonight I see that they're asking Jewish people in the Ukraine to start signing, identifying themselves. That's not good. And the population, the Jewish population, I think in Ukraine, if I read it right, is 17,000 people. and they want them to be licensed. They got to get a permit to be Jewish. I hope that's not true. I hope that that's just some scuttlebutt that somebody threw out there to fill the last line of a page. But that's not good. That's not healthy. And they say it's the Russians that are doing it. If it's the Ukrainians that are doing it, Ukraine is finished. They don't get no help here. But if it's the Russians that are doing it, Russians are in trouble. And so are we. And so is that Jewish population. They just think in America's best days of, and isn't it something that they would pull it just during the Jewish holidays? That somebody would bring that up? And now, while they're praying today, they're wondering if Iran is going to set off a nuke tomorrow. Huh? Remember the Yom Kippur War? Yeah. Enemies of decent people always strike on their holy days. We took it on a Sunday, December the 7th. They just think in America's best days are finally behind us. There is no great American. One of the things that's very depressing to hear from the older generation, and that is, I'm glad I'm not going to live to see what's coming for this country. That is ominous. There is no great American dream in my future, they're saying. They don't blame Obama. They blame the system. They blame the country. They blame whatever. They can blame themselves because the Constitution belongs to them. And if they don't like what's going on, they can change the law. And there's a story in the New York Times, Obama effect inspiring few to seek office. He's got an office that pays $200,000 a year. He can't fill it. They don't want it. They don't want the headache. Eric Lesser was shaking hands with diners in a Portuguese restaurant last week when he spotted the owner of Manny's TV and Appliances. Oh, I got to get a picture, Mr. Lesser eagerly said, draping his arm over Manny Ravithis, whose low-budget commercials have run for decades in western Massachusetts. Mr. Lesser's giddiness was about meeting the local celebrity had not faded when he sat down for lunch. Awesome, he said. Well, I got to read this on Rush Limbaugh. And they give you a commercial, a pop-up, they call them. Pop right in your eye, man. Well, have you noticed the other thing now? If you look up some piece of equipment or something you want to buy, it now follows you around everywhere you go. Man, they're going to get you in your sleep when these people get finished with you. So Rush was talking about the millennials. We know what you and I do. Let's see, he says. Okay. He was talking about Manny's TV Appliances. Oh, I got to get the picture. Mr. Lesser eagerly draping his arm over Manny, whose low-budget commercials have run in western Massachusetts. Although Mr. Lesser spent much of the last 6 years in the company of President Obama and Washington hotshots, Massachusetts, the state is gone, folks. It is gone. I feel so sorry for a conservative in Massachusetts. They must be like lepers. They're going to have you put a bell around your neck when you come out. Yeah, here he comes, the unclean. Now is an earnest, hug-prone 29-year-old candidate for the Massachusetts State Senate. He is far more interested in people like Mr. Ravathis, which is a good thing. Mr. Lesser, a former White House staff member, has returned home on the path Mr. Obama hoped to inspire. Who hoped to be a Democratic Reagan, sees diminishing influence plus the highest state tax burdens. You haven't seen nothing yet. Taxes, what the government doesn't take out of you in taxes, inflation is going to get the rest. They're talking about the price of food creeping up. The price of beef is getting expensive because Harry Reid is rustling all the cattle in the West. So what we have here, we have a story about basically young people elected Obama and now they're bored with him. They're not bored enough. Don't count on that. The Obama era has been a disaster for them. They are the first in modern era to have higher levels of student loan debt. You know what the generation before me had? They had the GI Bill, and their college was paid for. Of course, college was a lot cheaper. You didn't have to help the college get rich. Yeah, unbelievable, man, unbelievable. And then came the next generation, and they didn't have the GI Bill. So you know what they had? They had what was called night school and a day job. And that's how they graduated. And very few fathers could afford to put money aside for their kids' education. So I would suggest to you, and this Obama's been successful, but the point of the story is how he's failed. He has failed to I started to read up above. Let me see. Higher levels of student loan debt, poverty, and unemployment. Unemployment is going to be real sad. And lower levels of wealth and personal income than their two immediate predecessor generations, Gen X and Boomers, had at the same stage of their life cycles. I remember when women were discriminated against and the only jobs they could get were clerks and secretaries, and they used to work for these big outfits like IBM, GE, Xerox, and these women on their low paychecks every week would buy a little share of stock and put it away and buy another share of stock and put it away, and by the time they retired, they were almost millionaires. Okay? And nobody was running around saying, we got to raise their minimum wage. They made do with what they had, and they saved. And they knew how to stretch a buck. And stretching a buck means bringing the empties back to the supermarket. Well, if Obama couldn't do it, it can't be done. If Obama couldn't make us rich, nobody can. If Obama couldn't restore the economy, nobody can. That's not so much saying that as their difference. Now is leading people to conclude it for them. Now the New York Times is worried, and there aren't future Obamas in this group wanting to run for office. Yippee. Well, I tell you something. We are the richest country in the world in assets. But watch out that your congressmen and senators don't sell your assets to foreign countries. And I got to tell you once again, if you want to put an end to corruption, you have to have a law that says the largest champagne contribution anyone can make to a political cause is $1. Until you do that, you will never have equality with people that can buy and sell the House and the Senate. But if it's a crime to donate $2, you won't have that problem. And the other thing you got to do, one term per termite. One term of office and get your ass out. No benefits. That's it. Thank you and goodbye. You did well. Nice try. Until you do that, you're never going to be in control of your own country. And people eventually will legislate around you, and eventually they'll legislate you out of this country. Yeah. Oh, and one of the things that excited me today was there is the Voice of Russia, which is a radio station in the United States, maybe TV station also, and it's controlled by the Russian government. And they're being sued by the only two black girls that have jobs there for discrimination. Isn't that something? Can you believe that? That the people that promote communism and oneness of man are discriminating against the only two black girls in the Voice of Russia? Yes. Don't they have a big black population in Russia? No, huh?
Don't they have a big black population in China? No, huh? Oh, why is that? Yeah. How come? The communists are always talking about everybody's equal. Yeah, George Orwell says some are more equal than others. It is really sad. We're in trouble. We're self-destructing. We're eating our own flesh. And we're killing too many kids. Do you know how many babies we kill a year? 1.2 million. Do you know how many legal immigrants come into the United States every year? 1.2 million. Oh, here's that thing about the Jewish people having to register in the Ukraine. Eric Cantor, I don't like him. I don't trust him. He's too quiet. I like guys that blab a lot. Elizabeth Warren whines about coverage of her fraudulent Indian claim. Yeah, she had high cheekbones, so she considered herself an Apache. And she put it down. She was taking all the deductions. Did I tell you that I heard a story about a guy that took the cops test, the New York City cops test, and he checked the box black, African-American, and they called him in 3 weeks after he took the test. And he went down and he said, "Here I am." And they said, "You checked African-American. You're not African-American." And he goes, "Well, so I'm here." He says, no, you can't do that. We'll call you when we're ready." You know when they called him? 5 years later. Unbelievable. So some are more equal than others. Where is that article? Oh, here it is. Okay, let's see what they're talking about. What is this? This can't be real. Jews in the eastern Ukrainian city of Donetsk, where pro-Russian militants have taken over government buildings, were told they have to register with the Ukrainians who are trying to make the city become part of Russia, according to Israeli media. Okay, so it's the Russians that are doing it. Jews emerging from a synagogue say they were handed leaflets that ordered the city's Jews to provide a list of property they own and pay a registration fee or else have their citizenship revoked, face a deportation, and see their assets confiscated, reported Yonet News, Israel's largest news website. Donetsk is the site of an anti-terrorist operation by the Ukraine government, which has moved military columns into the region to force out militants who are demanding a referendum be held on joining Russia. The leaflets bore the name of Denis Pushilin, who identified himself as chairman of Donetsk temporary government, and were distributed near the Donetsk synagogue and other areas, according to the report. Yeah. It's terrible, man. It's terrible. You know what? You have no idea, and I have no idea, how cruel the outside world is. It is really sad. Yeah, you don't want to, you know, like I always say, when we fall, who will take us in? You think the English people are leaving England? They're all over here now. They're all talk show hosts. The Russian people are leaving Russia. Where are we going to go? Who's going to take us in? It is really sad. Blog Talk Radio. We're going to the studio. I have no time left. My clock ran out. I'll end with a tune. I got to go out with a live tune. I played Is There Any Wonder last night. Sinuendo. You want Sinuendo? Skibbereen. Oh, here's a story. You want to hear Skibbereen? I'll give you a little background on it. Skibbereen is an Irish lament. The town is called Skibbereen, and
It was at the time when the Brits owned all of the Irish land, and the Irish could only be tenants, like sharecroppers. And then when the Brits decided that they didn't even want the Irish on their land, they burned them out. They set fire to their little thatch cottages, and they drove them off the land. You can hear the cries. The violin is crying.
Oh, Father dear, I oft times hear you speak of Erin's Isle. Her lofty scenes, her valleys green, her mountains rude and wild. They say it is a lovely land, wherein a prince might dwell. Oh, why did you abandon it? The reason me to tell. Oh, son, I loved my native land with energy and pride, till a blight came over all our crops, and the sheep and cattle died. My rent and taxes were to pay, I could not them redeem. And that's the cruel reason why I left old Skibbereen. I do remember that cold December day. The landlord and the sheriff came to drive us away. They set our roof on fire with the demon's yellow gleam. And that's another reason why I left old Skibbereen. The day may come when vengeance loud will call, when Irishmen are feeling stern to rally one and all. I'll be the man to lead the van beneath that flag of green, when loud and high we'll raise the cry, revenge for Skibbereen. When loud and high, we'll raise the cry, revenge for Skibbereen.